We'll go back to 7 o'clock after hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, producing the operation. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. It's also the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. And you guys love to text in. That's clear. I love some of the stuff, man. A lot of 94, man. A lot of 94 Chiefs fans. You know, Joe Montana taking the AFC title game. You know, that stands out for people at that point. Here's the one from the 620, November 1993. Got to watch Joe Montana and company beat Jim Kelly and the Bills. That was electric. The Monday Night Football game out there at Arrowhead Stadium, where it became alive, man. And Monday Night Football was here, and Arrowhead was rocking, and became the place to be. It's just become the place to be for everybody to go to, and it's been a lot of fun. Do you have season tickets, or your parents do, or of course you work here now, so you can go anyway. So.
Yeah, I don't. I never have, but I'd go out to a couple games a year at least. Always pick the best ones, hopefully, to go out to. Normally, if Buffalo's coming here, a good team like that. I have been to a couple of big playoff games. Went to the infamous Burrowhead game where Eli Apple.
Oh, you're a Burrowhead? Smoking a burrow?
They said it was going to be Burrowhead and then ended up being Chiefs 23-20. And the Bengals fans that were sitting behind us the whole night, whenever that kick went through, I turned around to say something to them. Gone. Ran up the stairs. They were nowhere to be seen.
It's the way Bengals fans are. They claim to be these great fans and stuff, but they disappeared for a lot of years, man. They disappeared for a lot of years. You never heard, like, go to Cincinnati for a game. It's a great place to go watch a game. But even when the Chiefs were bad, well, not bad. They'd win, but not win in the postseason. People still go. They still go to the game. Even 2012, when it was dreary, man. And it was dreary. They flew banners. But they wanted change, but they still were passionate. They still wanted change. They still wanted to be good. I mean, it's pretty much in the fiber here to be good at football.
I remember I went to the Houston postseason game this past January in the divisional round, and just leaving that game and just my mind, like, not taking this for granted, because there were so many postseasons they went one and done. And yes, beating the Texans in the divisional round today isn't the standard, but I just remember walking out, everyone, you know, banging on the walls as they're walking out of the stadium, doing the Chiefs chant, you know, just great vibes, and just thinking to myself, like, man, like, I would have died for this 10 years ago, and now it's just kind of the standard. It's like, of course you won the divisional round.
Yeah, you won the divisional round, and it was fun. But, Bills, they've been good fans. I mean, you know, the tailgating and stuff.
Bills Mafia is electric.
They've been fun.
They are.
I give them credit. That looks like a fun place to go. I mean, it looks like a fun place to be.
I would love to go get some wings there and see the Chiefs beat them in January. I would love to go do that.
Oh, I mean, sure, the wings are fantastic. They actually have a Chiefs bar. Casey Blackrock Bar in downtown Buffalo. It's a Chiefs bar there in Buffalo. And there's a Buffalo Bills bar actually here in Kansas City that the Bills Mafia will migrate to. One of them is the Northland Owls, where a lot of the Bills fans will go. And, of course, there's a Bills or a Chiefs bar in Buffalo. But they have to close the bar when the Chiefs are playing there because people can't handle themselves at it. But that's cool. I'd love to go drink a beer at a Chiefs bar in another city. That would just be fun. I mean, that would be ultimate trolling of them, and that would be so much fun. I would definitely go to that bar, a Chiefs bar in Buffalo. I think that'd actually be fun, going to the Chiefs bar in Buffalo. Go see Niagara Falls, go hang out, have some wings, go to the Chiefs bar, right?
I do need to go up to Buffalo eventually. The chicken wings have to be tried. A game up there, whether it be a Chiefs game or not.
Yeah, go see the Chiefs up there, man.
Looks like a great environment regardless. I'd probably be hated if I were.
But you don't think Cincinnati, man. You don't think go to Cincinnati.
No, I don't want Skyline Chili. I want to go to Buffalo, get some wings, get a beer, watch.
I actually like Skyline Chili. I know people hate me for it, but whatever.
Never been a big Sky. I do like chili. Skyline Chili is not really my thing.
We'll get to the Chiefs hate here in just a second. Let's go to Don in Kansas City. Don wants to chime in on this. What's up, Don?
Hey, how you doing there, man? Nice to hear you guys.
Nice to hear you, my friend.
My first Chiefs game, man, I took my youngest daughter. And, well, that's where she learned most of her swear words. But, you know, that's beside the point.
Well, you just know that's going to happen. Like, if you take your kids to a football game. Yeah.
Yeah, I learned that. It's not a good place to take a 7-year-old. But it's all right. She had a great time.
Good.
Well, we got to see Tim Tebow for the first time.
See some Tebow?
Yeah. Well, for the first and last time, I do believe.
Tebow actually has a playoff win.
Yeah.
Before he grew into tight end size. Great stuff. Yeah. And everybody's got their memory. And bringing your kids is always fun, Don. I mean, but here's the thing. I mean, you just know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. So don't, you know, if they hear bad words or whatever. Let me tell you this. I was calling the White Sox a booty call. Like when I was in, I don't know, it was 10-2 or something at that point. I was, because that's what they were. Because remember how bad they were last year? Historically bad. I mean, they were honestly, when you played them, like the Royals did not lose to them. I know they've lost a couple games this year. The Royals are 5-2 against the White Sox.
They lost one game to Chicago last year, and other than that, they won every home
game. They rolled
game.
Right through them, and then easy. They're 5-2 against them this year. They have their time, but they were. It was the booty call. There was a team people got good against. It's like the Rockies were for the Royals this year, right? You're playing the Rockies? Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Rockies aren't in your division, though.
The White Sox have been that last call at 3 a.m. when you're leaving the bar. You know what's going to happen.
You need a win, call the White Sox or Rockies.
You call the White Sox. So I was saying this. And someone got mad and they got offended by it. You know, like, oh my God, I can't believe you're saying this. They're blowing up our text line, you know, about how crude I was for that. And I was sitting there going, that is tame compared to what little Johnny's hearing at school. Because I guarantee you that word, whenever they're hopping on social media, whenever they're going to school, they've heard much worse. So if you're at Arrowhead Stadium and someone's cussing or whatever, the chances are they've probably heard that word a million times at school. To be honest with you, it probably happens.
Just be thankful you're not at the old Oakland Coliseum. I mean, that's where Raiders-Chiefs games, even at Arrowhead, it got feisty. It always did.
Well, there was times where players didn't even want their wives, you know, right, to get the game in Oakland. When they're in Oakland and, you know, things they'd say to Chiefs fans. I've been in New England before. That is probably the crudest fan base I've ever seen. I mean, honestly, like the Patriots fans, even to their own team. I mean, if they were punting, they'd start booing. I mean, they just boo everything. Anybody in any of the opposing jerseys at that point, it was Chiefs stuff walking around, they'd get booed. And they'd get called every name in the book, man. That was Patriots fans. But you know going into that, that's what's going to happen. Like, you rock the other team's gear going in. And a lot of times, you know, people won't say anything. But if you're obnoxious about it, you know, and being a jerk about it, you know, about first downs and celebrating and dancing when your team's, you know you're going to get it, man. You know you're going to get it. Just be prepared to do it. But it's going to a game is an experience, but I think it's good for kids to go because, you know, they remember going with mom or dad to the game. I know when I was growing up, going to the games, getting a chance to go to games, you're excited about it, you know, and you remember those times.
The one I can't believe we haven't even brought up is Philly. I mean, they threw snowballs at Santa Claus. Philly. They threw snowballs at Santa Claus.
Yeah, Philly's rough, man.
That's a rough one.
Philly's rough. So, if your kid hears something or whatever, just to understand, if there's a fight, might get to see somebody punched. I mean, but go in with the preparation that might happen. That, hey, there might be cuss words being said.
Probably at Arrowhead.
But then understand when they're at school, they're going to get the same thing.
Most likely, yeah.
Here's 816. Love this. Actually, Delaney game, 81 versus the Chargers. First game, 80 versus the Bengals. Saw Tony Reed. Man, Joe Delaney. Well, it's been like 42 years since we lost Joe Delaney. That guy, man, that guy could have been a legend, man. And what he did was even more legendary. Flash flood, Louisiana. He dives in to save kids. The only problem was he couldn't swim. But you know what? He didn't think he's dead. You know, I give him 100%. I mean, he should be celebrated all the time because he couldn't swim, but yet he went in the water to save kids, right? And he couldn't swim himself, and he unfortunately met his fate doing that. But, yeah, guys like that, man, that's what makes the world go round. Joe Delaney, props to you, man.
Good dude.
One of the best Chiefs ever. I mean, that guy is somebody to celebrate.
That's
right there.
That's a class act. That is a standard of being a Chief off the field.
Bank, if you want good wings, go to Magic City in Atlanta. I'm pretty sure Magic City is
it's one of those.
A joint, yeah.
It's a nightly entertainment club. We'll just keep it at that.
Yeah. Maybe one of those places, but a lot of those places have good food, though, to be honest with you. I think bowling alley is probably the best burgers.
I was going
to
say, bowling alley.
They're hidden gems, man. And a lot of golf courses, too, man. That food's good. You wouldn't expect that in some places, but like bowling alley is always going to be good food.
There's a burger at a bowling alley near where I live called the 300 Burger Bank, and it just melts in your mouth. It is delicious.
Oh, the 300 Burger in Liberty?
Yeah.
That thing's iconic.
It's so, so good.
That thing is iconic. Well, I didn't get to what will make you mad because I still like all this Chiefs stuff coming in.
We've got plenty of time.
It brings you down memory lane, man. All these different reasons why the Chiefs, people like the Chiefs. Maybe they moved here. You know, they transferred down here from Omaha or Des Moines or something, moved up here from Wichita, and they became a Chiefs fan. A lot of times people that are born here have just always been it. I mean, that's just how it goes. What they know. But in the 80s, did you did you venture off? Did you venture off before Carl and Marty in the 90s and kind of turn things around? I don't know.
Hey, you know, I like reading some of this pre-2000 stuff because obviously I'm a younger Chiefs fan. I didn't get to experience a lot of this. I didn't get to experience the Montana days, the DeBerg days.
Speaking of Montana days, there's this great series on Peacock about Joe Montana's career path.
I need to watch that.
Oh, you binge that sucker, man.
I need to binge that.
It goes back to like high school and just Notre Dame climbing the depth chart and stuff like that to the NFL. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of that series when you watch it, you think about Mahomes. And yeah, it wasn't specifically mentioned, but you think about it, it's guys like that, right? Guys that everybody wants to play for.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that rally, you know, that will rally around you because you're a regular dude.
Joe,
they'll go drink beer with somebody or have dinner with somebody. And Joe was like that, man.
Joe Cool.
Joe would take his linemen up at Wisconsin, when they're at River Falls, and he'd go to Bar Bozenmine, take the line, whatever, go have beers with them, whatever. See, that's why they liked him. Joe kept things cool, too. You know, he'd be in the Super Bowl on a crucial drive against the Bengals. He'd be looking up the stands and say, hey, there's John Candy sitting up there.
Yeah.
You know, and talking like that. He would jack with Neil Smith and steal his baseball bat and stuff like that when he played for the Chiefs. But guys liked him, man. He's willing to joke around and play. He was Joe freaking Montana. He came to the Chiefs with 4 rings. I mean, it was Joe Cool. 16 postseason wins. Mahomes just passed him. He's got 17 now. But regardless, you got to be a dude, man. People got to like, especially that position. Toughest position in the sports, a quarterback. But guys have to like you. But you watch that Montana thing, and you say, all right, I see why this guy was good. I see why Mahomes is good. I see why guys play for him. So I see why they do that. But coming up next, though, I'll let you – let's start getting mad a minute, Jackson.
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the operation. Royals off tonight. 3 games against the White Sox coming up. Noah Cameron tomorrow night. Making a statement, man. His best rookie, man. But definitely the best rookie pitcher. Not even close.
At least in the American League.
Yeah, Mike Lorenzen on Saturday. He's back for Saturday. And then Ryan Burgert on Sunday against the White Sox. And then a huge one. Well, they're all big now for the Royals, but 4 against the Rangers coming up. The Royals already a 3-game advantage against the Rangers because that's a tiebreaker to get into the wild card. That's ultra important when you got a team like Texas right in front of you and you got 4 of them coming up here.
It's a must-win series. There's really no other way to put it.
It's always weird when they play in the afternoon like yesterday and then off today. It seems like, man, just get the Royals back going, man. Get the Royals back going. But 40 minutes from now, you have a chance to watch the Chiefs Kingdom. Hopefully you'll stay listening to this because you can watch it again later. As I mentioned, it'll be on ESPN2 tonight. And then, or you can just binge it. If you have a lot of people have watched ESPN, then go there. I assume it'll be ESPN Plus as well, that ESPN watch. I'm sure you can binge, because you can binge them all at that point if you want to. But I definitely recommend it because it is good, especially being a Chiefs fan. If you're a Chiefs fan, 100% watch it. I even told Drew Nixon, who's not a Chiefs fan, said, hey, watch it, man, because going to be history of the league. Chiefs are a big part of the history of the league. First ever team in the Super Bowl. Wasn't even the Super Bowl at that point against the Packers.
I mean, they call it the Lamar Hunt Trophy for a reason in the AFC title game.
Chiefs have a lot of them.
They do have a lot of them now.
Including 3 straight. Even though they didn't win the Super Bowl. But you know what? They went to the Super Bowl, right? And that ties into what I'm about to play. Colin Cowherd. Yesterday was Tom Brady, you know, glossing over Mahomes. That was the quarterback. It was great stuff from Tom Brady. Here's the GOAT talking about, you know, Mahomes reminds him more of himself. The guy's playing the league today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait till you hear the explanation. And we played Bill Simmons, too, from The Ringer, about why that he had Josh Allen better quarterback than Mahomes at this point when the guy, you know, spent more than a decade, you know, would never say Manning was better than Tom Brady. Nick Wright pointed it out today when he was talking about it, which is a good point because you do it with Josh Allen, he's 0-4 against Mahomes in the postseason, right? But the big difference is the Chiefs actually made it.
Mm-hmm.
The ending is not what you want. And again, like the Chiefs Kingdom show, you know the ending. People still watch the Titanic because they know the boat sank, but they still watched it.
Yep.
But you know the boat sinks. You know the Chiefs lost to the Eagles, right? You know that. But there's much more than just that. Here was Colin Cowherd. As far as, Mahomes has been blown out at 2 Super Bowls. We got to put somebody else there. Here's what he's had to say, and this will make you mad.
The best football dynasty of my life was New England. Kansas City, the Niners, Bill Walsh, Montana was pretty special. Jimmy and the Cowboys was certainly memorable. New England blew everybody out of the water. They had like, you know, it felt like two different dynasties, early and late. But in the middle, they went 10 years and didn't get a trophy. It does not mean they were bad. During that time, they got to five NFC championships and won eight division titles. Those were in the years, and Brady and Moss shattered NFL records. Those were in the years they didn't win the Super Bowl. So when everybody, myself included, says the dynasty is over in Kansas City starting this year, it doesn't mean they're not going to be great. It doesn't mean they won't get to another Super Bowl. It doesn't mean winning is over. But they only hoist one, and Mahomes is older and more expensive. There is one Travis Kelce, and he's probably in his last year. Chris Jones isn't getting any younger. And the truth is, Mahomes' coach is 67, and I love Andy, but the chance of him lasting 6 to 7 more years physically is probably very small. The other thing is, when Brady was dominating his division, the Jets were a circus. Very briefly, Rex Ryan got it together. And beat them. Not a great team, but the Rex Ryan team beat them. Miami's a perpetual average franchise, never terrible, not Carolina, where they're, you know, intermittently exceptional or awful. Yeah, Miami's always kind of 8-9, 9-8. That's just kind of what they feel like. Always interesting, never great. And then the Buffalo at the time, I don't remember what it was, but it didn't Brady go like 32-3 against Buffalo? I mean, he just dominated him until Josh Allen got there. But that's not what Kansas City's facing. And I talked about it this week. The reason LeBron was so dominant in the East wasn't that he was just great. It was that the East was terrible. I mean, and it's been like that for 30 years. Go look at the NBA's Christmas schedule and opening day schedule. It's all Western teams. And it's been mostly like this forever, except when LeBron was there. So he was running through the Raptors and the Pacers. And Nick Saban was dominating when Tennessee couldn't get the coach right. And Ole Miss couldn't get the coach right, and Georgia couldn't get the coach right. The minute Sark and Texas came into the conference and Georgia got Kirby Smart, the dynasty ended. By the way, Urban's dynasty ended when Nick Saban came into the SEC. So dynasties just don't happen when you've got a stacked division, because you're going to lose some close games. Last year, the Chiefs were 11th in point differential, 11th in the league, 11th. So they dominated the margins, and they deserve it. But now Bo Nix with Sean Payton is in year two, and Herbert and Harbaugh is year two. And the Raiders, Chip Kelly, Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, Max Crosby, Brock Bowers, that is a really good fourth place team. Ashton Jeanty could end up being, what are the odds on him being rookie of the year at running back? So my point is, when you start looking at dynasties, LeBron dominating the East, Saban dominating the SEC, for the record, the Dodgers, with all that money, have just dominated their division, but the San Francisco Giants have been down a lot of it. And the Padres shouldn't be able to compete and haven't been able to beat them in the postseason because it's a much smaller market and market size matters in baseball. This is not a shot at Kansas City. It's the reality of now you got Hall of Fame coaches in the division, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh. Now the one of one Travis Kelce probably has a year left. Chris Jones and Andy are not getting easier. And yeah, let's be honest about Mahomes. He's already got blown out in two Super Bowls. He's been blown out in two Super Bowls. Why? It's not because he's a bad quarterback. It's because they unraveled, because the O-line, which by the way is getting rebuilt for a third time, let him down.
So there you go. There are plenty of thoughts on that. And, you know, yes, Reed 67. Didn't turn 68 till next March. So the whole season, he'll be 67, right? Belichick, 73. Pete Carroll, 73. So, man, 6 or 7 more years. Well, how many Super Bowls can he rack up in that time? He's already the number two all-time winning coach in the postseason in the NFL. What more could happen? But plenty of thoughts about that. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. So did that make you mad, Jackson? I've heard from other people it made them mad. But here's the thing, though. Do you actually get mad when you hear stupid stuff, or do you just kind of laugh it off at this point? I used to get really mad at it, but nowadays it's just kind of fun.
You know, it depends who says it, Bink. there are some people that I just don't value their opinion enough to get mad.
Yeah, I mean, if it was Tom Brady or somebody like that saying it, yeah, he's like,
eh. But I'll be honest, Bink, I do like Cowherd most of the time. Like, I think he's an entertaining guy, very good at what he does. He's had a lot of good takes about the Chiefs in the past.
But Chiefs are what sells for him, too, so he's actually a good Titan. He's been really high on the Chiefs. Like, he's blown smoke up their ass quite a bit, but he'll rip them, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is now this whole offseason, for some reason, him and J-Mac alongside him have just absolutely been tearing the Chiefs apart, saying it's all
that guy, man.
They can't do it anymore. They're not good enough anymore. I just don't get it. And he brings up, well, Andy Reid's getting old, and the coaches in the division are Hall of Famers.
He's 67.
All the coaches in the division are old.
That's the new 40.
Sean Payton's old. Pete Carroll's old. Jim Harbaugh's getting up there in age. Like, you act like Andy Reid's the only one that's old in the division. It's not like you have Boy Wonder and Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur in the division who are all super young. The entire division is full of older coaches, so I didn't really get that point. And he likes to bring up, well, you can't have a dynasty with the division that good. They've had a dynasty with a conference that features Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, C.J. Stroud. They've continued a dynasty in the tougher conference. He acts like, oh, because the AFC West is tougher now, they can't. The AFC West was tough last year, and they went to the Super Bowl, Bink.
Oh, I know, but here's the thing. You don't take into account 7 straight AFC title games. That's what Mahomes has done. Like, that never comes up that his losses are in overtime in the AFC title game, but at least he's getting there. And in the Chiefs, yes, they got blown out of 2 Super Bowls. You think that was Mahomes' fault? And keep in mind, when you watch this Kingdom series, it's about last year's season. You remember all the things that happened to this team last year?
A lot.
You remember losing your free agent, Hollywood Brown, getting hurt the first catch he made in preseason? Gone. Isaiah Pacheco getting hurt early on, game 2 last year? He gets hurt in that. Then Rashee Rice in game 4 against the Chargers. So there's a situation where the Chiefs had to go out and get DeAndre Hopkins, who I don't think anywhere near the skill he used to have, but they had to do something. That's why I wanted Keenan Allen. You have to always prepare for the worst. And last year, the Chiefs got thrown the worst. They lost their 1, and they lost their 2 receivers, and they lost their leading rusher in Pacheco. They had that. Those are weapons for Mahomes, and they lost them. We know how the turnstile situation was at left tackle. So you have that situation, a 1-2 receiver off your team, and your leading rusher. Good luck. Good luck if that happened to Burrow. Good luck if that happened to Lamar Jackson. Good luck if this happened to another quarterback. Good luck. But no one brings that up. But they won 15 games. They still got a Lamar Hunt trophy, and they still made it to the Super Bowl against all odds. I mean, that team winning 15 games with all those injuries. Oh, yeah, but the 1-score games. Well, they still won them, man. You either win them or you lose them, and they won them. That's a big difference. But they found a way to do it because their quarterback instead of saying, hey, the dynasty and stuff like this, Mahomes, like I hear that ad nauseum. Like, dude's 29, man. Dude's not even 30, and we're talking about this. Dude's not even 30, and we're talking about, you know, all this stuff with Mahomes, and they don't bring up the 17 postseason wins or all that. And I brought it up ad nauseum, all the quarterbacks that built their Hall of Fame career in their 30s. Like, that's prime for a quarterback. When you're running back or receiver, no. It's time to start getting out of the game and looking for a beachfront house. 30s for quarterbacks, that's prime, man. Quarterbacks, kickers, you name it, you get better with age. Fine wine when you're a quarterback and you get better going forward. But that he should be celebrated for that instead of brought down. When you lose a 1-2, that's why I gave Josh Allen his props. He scored 30 points a game, not even having Stephon Diggs as he was already gone with Houston at that point, but still found a way to score 30 points a game. I'm like, all right, because a lot of people can't name a lot of skill positions on Buffalo outside of James Cook and Josh Allen. But they still did it. But the thing is, when you're good and you're constantly good and you always have a chance because of him, it's not like, and then to bring up Justin Herbert, year 2 with Harbaugh. Yeah, I think Harbaugh is probably the best fit with Herbert because he's gone through 3 head coaches. And yes, he's got an amazing arm talent, but a lot of the stuff is coming back from the mock drafts and things that were out that he's got a great arm, but our guy is really going to follow him. Was he that much of a vocal leader at Oregon? And he wasn't. And it's proven out. He's got 0 postseason wins. 0.
2 of the ugliest playoff losses you'll ever see. The game
he's been a top 5 quarterback in people's mind for years.
Oh, people throw him above Jalen Hurts without even thinking twice about it. But Jalen Hurts is 26. He's been to 2 Super Bowls and already has a Super Bowl win, including beating Patrick Mahomes head-to-head in one of those. But they'll throw Herbert right above him just because he makes cool throws.
He does, and now, you know, I can't believe that's still his theory. Losing Rashawn Slater was pretty damn big for him.
That's bad. That's bad. I will say this, Bink, to touch on Cowherd again, he brought up how there was a 10-year gap where New England didn't win a Super Bowl, but they were still good. The Chiefs are not going to go the next 10 years without winning a Super Bowl. Like, you say, okay, well, New England was a dynasty.
I mean, if they didn't win it, they'd still be there.
That's what I'm saying. New England went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl, and you still consider them a dynasty. Because the Chiefs got blown out in a couple of Super Bowls, they aren't going to be able to continue to be a dynasty. It's flawed logic, but then again, the season hasn't started yet.
And it wasn't because of him. I see all this Josh Allen stuff. He's got 28 touchdowns, one pick in the postseason. Right? They're talking about the best quarterback because he's got more postseason wins than any quarterback that's never gone to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because they're losing not because of him, because of everybody else. So everybody's using that excuse for that. Then why didn't Mahomes get some slack? Because he made water out of wine.
Right. I mean, Josh Allen, I've never seen an athlete get credited more for less. Like, the hypotheticals with Josh Allen, if he had this, if he had Andy Reid, if he had Tyreek Hill, if he had Travis Kelce, it's always if with him. It's never he actually got it done. And he is a heck of a quarterback, and he does have a lot of playoff wins. But some of those playoff wins are against Skylar Thompson in the Dolphins. Whoever, I think it was Mason Rudolph in Pittsburgh last year, or the year before that they threw out against Buffalo. Like, some of these playoff wins, some of these guys Josh Allen is beating in the postseason are 6 or 7 seeds that don't even belong to be in the postseason. Their quarterback play is atrocious. So, no, I'm not going to elevate you to this standard when, oh, wow, congratulations, you can beat the 9-8 Steelers in the playoffs. You know what you can't do? You got whacked by Burrow at home a couple years ago in the playoffs, and you've never beaten Pat in the postseason.
But the thing about it, too, is it's like, to consistently be there, to be there at the end. Again, you don't see these other teams doing it. You know, you saw Burrow, he got through, and he got to the Super Bowl against the Rams. And then, yeah, I get it, injuries. He's had injuries. He's been 2-time comeback player of the year. Had injuries, but he's been on the couch watching the playoffs the last 2 years.
Right.
You know, Josh Allen's never gone there. You know, Mahomes been to 7 straight AFC title games.
I mean, you think about it. Everyone loves Lamar, and Lamar is great. He's only been to 1 conference championship in his career, and he stunk in that game. Only one.
He's 1-4 versus Mahomes in his career. Because that win he got was at home in a regular season.
What's a good quarterback Lamar's beat in the postseason? Because he hasn't beat. He's 0-2 against Josh Allen in the postseason. He's 0-1 against Mahomes. I mean, sure, he's 0-1 against Tannehill in the playoffs, even that year, remember?
He's got 3 now, but it took him a while to get it.
He's beaten Tannehill once in the postseason. He beat a rookie C.J. Stroud. And then this past year, he beat the Russell Wilson Steelers. That's it.
But if Justin Herbert went to 7 straight?
Oh,
man.
An L.A. quarterback or a New York quarterback.
We have the GOAT here, man. Move over Brady. Here's the GOAT. If Josh Allen went to 7 straight, it'd be like, okay, move over, Tom. There's a new sheriff in town named Josh, right? That's what it would be.
I remember people were trying to anoint Burrow as the new Brady after that one run that they didn't even win it.
Hey, and you have Aikman coming out here and saying, well, that's the best quarterback I've ever seen. Maybe ever, Joe Burrow. This comments about him. But in the end, shouldn't everything be judged upon how many you win? Like, shouldn't that be the end-all, be-all if you win them? And make no mistake. Mahomes started 7 years. He's been in 5 freaking Super Bowls. 5! For a talent that we didn't have him, man. You didn't have him. You got him. You've been to 5. 5 times you've called your friends and family. You had Super Bowl parties to watch the Chiefs in it because of this team. Yeah, if they get blown out in the Super Bowl, yeah. Do you think that was Mahomes' fault?
Not entirely,
He got sacked 6 times without them blitzing.
They didn't blitz 1 time. And it was the same problem in the Tampa Super Bowl. They didn't even have to blitz. They could get pressure on him without even throwing any exotic blitz packages.
But you know what you do? You get up, you forget about the game, and you go play the next season. And again, I think people are going to hopefully nationally see what all happened to the Chiefs last year. Because it'll be spotlighted for them. Because they'll talk about this. It's the 2024 season, right? All these things happened, right? Zay Pacheco hurt. Rashee Rice hurt. Hollywood Brown out. Boom, boom, boom. Left tackle situation. But they still found a way to get to the Super Bowl and win 15 games. So I hope people are shocked by that when they watch the Kingdom tonight. I hope they watch it, you know, across the country in different places. Man, I didn't realize the Chiefs lost all those guys. Maybe we need to look at Mahomes in a different way because he actually took his team to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. What many people will say was,
and you're not going to put up great numbers,
right?
With no weapons.
What many people were saying was quote unquote a down year might have been one of his best he's ever had, considering what he had to work with.
100%. 100%, but you go there and you watch it, you say, all right, what did he have? Yes, they were 15 points a game, but you're going to be that way without great weapons. Mahomes lit it up with Tyreek Hill, man. It was the fastest guy in the NFL. Still probably close to it. I think Xavier's faster than that. But when you got weapons and a young Kelce at that point, when you have weapons, you're a better quarterback. And again, like, are you going to see 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns from Mahomes again? Actually, honestly, you probably don't want to see it again because that means your defense is crap.
Exactly. You don't want Texas Tech Mahomes again.
And he's done 5,000 yards twice in his career. The other time he did it, they were still 16th in points against. So that one year that he got 5,050, the MVP year, every time he was on the field, he had to score a touchdown. Right. They lost the game scoring over 50 points to the Rams. They lost the game scoring 40 points to the Patriots. So you lose two games, one of 50 points and one of 40 points you scored. That doesn't happen. But when you put up, you know, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, yeah, you know what? You're going to have stats for Coward and, you know, Bill Simmons and everybody to talk about. But you're putting up big numbers because you have no defense. He threw up these huge numbers at Texas Tech. There's 128 teams in FBS when his last year at Tech. There's 136 now. But do you know where they were in points per game against when he was the quarterback there at Tech?
Were they dead last?
128 yep. out of 128 teams. Meaning Mahomes, when he got on the field, he had to score a touchdown every time.
You remember that game he played
against? That's what would allure me the most to him. You know, I'm sure the Chiefs right. scouting department and Veach watching, you know, film and scouting Mahomes, I'm sure that came up that, hey, this dude's got to score every time he goes on the field. And that's what we need.
I mean, good gosh. Remember the game he played against Baker in Oklahoma? He threw the ball about 80 times. Game finishes 66-58. I mean,
that was the most incredible game. That's looked upon as one of the best games ever. The Mayfield's numbers.
Unbelievable.
And Mahomes, and don't forget Joe Mixon had over 200 yards rushing and over 100 yards receiving in that game, too. There was stars in that game, man.
That was a star-studded game. Unbelievable.
100% star-studded game. 913-586-7965, Jay Southland Tow Service text line as you get pretty close to embarking here on the Chiefs Kingdom, and you'll get to see some Nate Taylor in it, get to see some Mitch Holtis in it. I'm sure you're going to see quite a bit in it. Of course, we'll show it again tonight on ESPN2, but your stories of, we'll get back to this, your stories about when you became a Chiefs fan. When was that time? When was that moment? Maybe it was forever, or maybe there was a moment. Let me know. 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. 913-586-7965, Jay Southland Tow Service text line. The ad's already out. ESPN, Kansas State, Iowa State, Farmageddon in Dublin on the 23rd, 9 days away. And, of course, that'll be on 96.5 The Fan. Matter of fact, you can sit all day. Be Kansas State in the morning right here. Then you get the Kansas City Royals that night. It's good stuff all around us, my friend, but 9 days away.
Single-digit days, Bink, until meaningful college football is back.
These weeks have been going by so fast. You know what I mean? Summer's just gone really fast. Summer so 9 days to by. Wait for that because the Royals play the Tigers that night at 7:10. So the K-State's there in the morning. That's a good day for football. It's kind of nice because there's week zero. It's got a handful of games. If you're a KU fan or local football fan, you got KU to watch later that night. You can watch K-State and KU. You know, Missouri fan, you sit back and wonder because, you know, there's action there, too, for I can't wait for college football, man. I can't wait for Missouri, K-State, Kansas. I like watching all the local teams play.
It's going to be a great season. I'm looking forward to it.
I just like watching them play, and week zero is always fun. I mean, that is always a fun event for week zero. And they're going to stop calling it week zero, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, they're just kind of like week one or something like that. But and then Thursday, on the 28th, so what? That's next Thursday, right? At Central Arkansas, Missouri.
Yeah, that next Thursday.
On SEC Network. So, yeah, Missouri's on that game at 6:30 where Central Ark plays Mizzou. And then, of course, that's right after. So it's right after the K-State game's on the 23rd, Missouri, the 28th.
Yeah, Mizzou's kind of started this thing in the last few years where they play their first game of the season on the Thursday before Labor Day weekend. So, you know, people can go home, whatever the case may be. They don't want a lower attendance rate if they put it on a Saturday and people have already left for the long weekend. So they've started doing their season openers on Thursday nights, and it gives you a little bit of a rest advantage as well heading into week two, which for them will be the Jayhawks in Columbia.
You know, in the games there that you're going to get on the 30th when – Texas plays Ohio State.
That's the game, man.
Mm.
That is, I mean, it's a little disappointing. I'm not going to lie. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff. That should be a 7 p.m. under the lights type of game, but I'll watch it either way, obviously. But 11 a.m., man, that's why are we not getting prime time for Texas Ohio State? Come on.
They play a lot of those Ohio. I mean, Ohio State does get the night games and stuff, but they like that big noon kickoff.
They do.
You know, they like to have it there. Get Iowa State that day as well on Saturday, September 6th. You've got that game. So we're here, man. We're here. We're 100% here.
6th is going to be a war on Twitter for the metro area. Mizzou, Kansas. I mean, first time they've played since Mizzou split for the SEC. It is going to be.
I can't wait.
It's going to be electric.
Of course, it was awesome when K-State was down in Columbia and Harrison Nevis kicks that field goal right there at the end. But, yeah, it's always great to have Kansas-Missouri playing.
It's good to get the rivalry back.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. They've been playing in basketball for a little bit.
They'll play a couple years, and they don't play again until, 2030, something like that?
Yeah, they play this year, next year, and then I think you're right. It's a little bit before they play again. But it's a home and home between the two. So next year, Mizzou will head to Lawrence to play in that new stadium of Kansas's.
But the But that's going to be a fun weekend of football, the 30th, 30th of August. Yeah, we're still in August.
Still in August.
And then, of course, the next week you got at Friday night you got Chiefs in Brazil.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy time for local football fans around here. I mean, you have Chiefs Chargers in Brazil that Friday night, and it goes straight into Kansas Mizzou the next day. So, I mean, obviously. Big, big weekend early on in the football season.
Another game you have that, too, that week of the 30th, because it's always fun that week before the NFL starts with college football. Mm-hmm. You got Clemson and LSU going
at it,
too.
That's going to be a great game. Well, LSU,
that's 9-4 in action there.
Will LSU start 0-3 for the third consecutive year? Brian Kelly has not been happy at his post-game pressers the last 2 years when they lost the opener.
Well, you get Notre Dame in Miami later that night. That's the nightcap at 6:30.
See what Carson Beck looks like.
Again, you get college football to keep that appetite. Now you start to see the high school football showcases, like top 25 games and stuff that they show all the time. It's fun, man. There's football everywhere.
It's a beautiful time of year.
That's why I reminded people, do your stuff this weekend, man. Do your honey-do stuff. Take her out to dinner. Take her out to eat, because you're going to be locked in with high school football, college football, pro football, until February?
February, after the Super Bowl, yeah.
And then you're going to have to sit there and start working on your draft stuff.
It's draft time, yeah. No off season, really.
Yeah, there's no off season, but this is a beautiful, beautiful time. Getting a lot of people that have moved down here from Omaha and stuff, and Des Moines. That's when they started liking the Chiefs. But obviously, when they're good, and they were good in the 90s. You know, they weren't getting the postseason success, but clearly, when you win a Super Bowl, a lot of people gravitate towards that. They get happy. They're happy about everything. I always joke, like, the city sends out surveys, like, to the residents, like Kansas City will, when the Royals won it in 15, right? They get these surveys back, and no one's complaining about potholes. No one's complaining about anything. When your teams win, you don't care. And people don't care when the Chiefs win Super Bowls or whatever. Life's good. Life's good. Except when they lost the Eagles. It was angry. People were angry.
At least you have Mahomes. Life's always great when you have Mahomes.
That's, you know what, doing the post-game show, I'd never forget that Titans loss in the playoffs. That was Mahomes when he's kind of redshirting behind Alex Smith.
Right, right.
And Smith had a pretty good game that game and stuff, and the Chiefs had that lead. They blew that lead at halftime, but I'm like, man, just imagine having that Mahomes, who was at practice all the time, because it's not like he just got good the next year because he won MVP the next year. They would have had no film on him in the pros, really, except for that Denver game. Would have surprised them. But, man, that's why that loss didn't sting, because you know what? You're sitting there going, well, it's Mahomes time now.
Yeah, you knew what was coming.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks for what you did. Thanks for everything you did with Patrick Mahomes. Liked it. You know, thanks for being here and thanks for being good and all this stuff. But it's Mahomes time now. When I lost to the Titans, it was like, all right, it's time to move on.
You knew it was the dawn of a new era. That was the end of one chapter, and we were turning the page.
Turning that page. 8 o'clock hour now coming up, but I want to get back to Rashee Rice, kind of what it means with his suspension. He's going to have a meet with an arbitrator there, a former judge, on the 30th of September, unless they settled it earlier, which could be done, or they could just wait until that. Well, it sounds like they kind of want to do that wait, and the Chiefs would get Rashee Rice there throughout the month of September, which I think is big because of the games. I'll explain everything and where the Chiefs go from here and what the wide receiver room looks like now. How many are they going to keep? We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.